sometimes think things are really disoriented in what God is doing. And some time ago, Kim, and you know Kim is a famous niece, she was married and then was diagnosed with cancer. And to show you how wonderful some people are, note just left, "I'm divorcing you, I'm out of here," and gone. And that in itself was even a greater blow to her soul than when she was told that she had cancer. That he just decided, if that's the case, I'm out, and took off. And so there were a lot of battles that this lady had to go through. And it sometimes we look at these circumstances and it just looks and as though it's God there and does God care. And this is why the things that we're in the midst of studying are so important, in the silence of God, when he appears to be silent in what God is doing. And another reason why the one another's are so important. There's just so many things that go on in a believer's life that we're not aware of. You may see them and not be aware of the inner things going on in their soul, in their life indeed. And this is another reason that we have been in the midst of studying the one another. The one another series has not been that popular here, and I know that, and I have persevered because to me, probably one of the most essential series we're going to study for your day in and day out life with one another, and that's where you and I live our life. But let's prepare ourselves now for the opening up of Scripture and seeing some things. Oh, one other thing. Once again, David and Stephanie Smith have opened their home to us on Memorial Day. So if you haven't made plans and something to do, then come over to David's if you'd like. About what time, Dave?
About 11.
It'll be potluck type of food, whatever is grounded up, and just come over for a lot of fun. And weather permitting, swim, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And so just plan that. And if you get tired of swimming, David will just love to take you upstairs and show you how the Macintosh works and spend hours on talking to you about Mac. So it won't be boring. Huh? Not at all. I think that's great. So please bear that in mind, and I'll remind you again Sunday. But you need to know how to get to there. It's very close. It's about a mile and a half from here. But once you get into the deal, you have to know how to zig and zag. So we'll David and Steph will tell you how to do that. Don't ask me. I can get there myself, but there is no way I could tell anyone how to do it. But so he'll tell you how if you'd like to come. Okay. Anything else? Yes.
My brother-in-law, Jim.
Jim.
He got pneumonia, and they ran out of the test on him.
When did this happen?
Okay. Right. And they ran some tests, and they found something that they got to do for the test, so we don't know what it's going to be.
Wow.
And then Ron and Lynn called, and his friend that he worked with, he's a believer.
Do you know his first name?
Yes.
Right. Okay, so Jim is just his brother-in-law, and so be in prayer for Jim, old Navy guy. It's a lot of fun. And then be in prayer for Ray this time. Any other thing we need to be made note of? Okay, let's approach the throne of grace together in prayer. Let's pray. Father, we now enter into the great realm of battle and opening up the scripture and getting some more insight. Father, Jesus Christ made it very clear that the mark of the Christian is in our interrelationship with one another. He made it very clear that those who manifest his love toward one another, that is the mark to the angels and to others, that one indeed is walking in Christ. And so, Father, we pray that your Spirit will open our eyes as we go through and continue our study of the interrelationship of believers. And now, Father, we tonight move into that area of examination of what happens when we're not in the Spirit. What happens when the Spirit is not reposing the things of the flesh? What will we see come out from us? Father, we pray that your Spirit will enlighten us, that we might see these things in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, we have spent now some time dealing with the one another when we're walking in the Spirit, the types of things that we can expect the Spirit to lead us in our relationships with husbands and wives and friends and family, work, social life, and, of course, the local assembly. Now we're going to look at some things that if these things appear in our activity of life, we know that we're not walking by the rest of faith in the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit is not in control and is not empowering and is not leading. And as a matter of fact, the flesh is now in dominance and is the one doing the controlling. And there are things that will come out of us that is significant and identifies us as in the flesh. Now, again, please understand, we're not studying these things as a list for you to go down in this list and to, okay, I've got this list down, and I won't do this, and I will do this. That's not what this is about, people, because you can't do these things in the flesh. You cannot repress the things we're going to look at in the flesh. You can, as we saw last night. What you're going to end up with is Ishmael. And a lot of people are satisfied with Ishmael. If you're satisfied with Ishmael, fine. But if you want Isaac in your life, if, in other words, if you want Christ formed in your life, then it has to be done by the power of God, the Holy Spirit. So last night was a very important observation in regard to Scripture. So we're going to look now at some of the things. We won't have near as many, but some of the things with that one another concept of what we can look for when we are not in the Spirit and what will happen in our life as we do the activity of life, taking our flow from last night, and just our activity of life. In other words, the things that we have to take care of in life, our work, our family, social life, shopping, whatever it is that we do in life. And when we start seeing certain things come out of us, we'll know that we are not in, we're not resting our faith in the Holy Spirit, because these are the things that are now coming out from us. And so this is where we are now. All of these that we're looking at are there because of the lower nature, the flesh, because of our birth on earth, the old man, the carnal man. And these things, if we're not in the power of the Spirit, therefore spiritual love is not reposing. Remember last night, if you're doing this, then the rest is up to God the Holy Spirit, who pours in spiritual love. And one of the things that spiritual love does is it reposes, it puts at repose the flesh nature, all these things that are of the flesh. But if this isn't happening, if there's not this reposing the flesh, then the flesh is going to take over, and you're going to see things start coming out from the activity of your life. Now, we have begun with the first one. And the first one, and again, we're just kind of taking our flow through Scripture and doing it that way rather than my sitting there and trying to prioritize these things. We're just going to go through the Scriptures and let this flow. The first one is betraying or turning in or delivering up or turning against one another. Now, this is an overt thing that you will do to another believer. Let's get ourselves oriented to Matthew 24:10. Matthew 24:10. This is a powerful passage, but the concept is true even in life where believers will turn on one another and judge and then turn on one another and betray one another. And so this is a good place to pick it up in Scripture to show what happens in our own individual lives. Now, Matthew 24:10, "And at that time many will fall away and will deliver up one another." Okay, first they're going to fall away. We'll take a look at that. And then they will deliver up one another. Now, what I want to do is so that we can go through this, and we've just got to make some headway in this study on these negatives. I know we had a week break there while I was gone, but I've shortened this into, pardon me, 8 flowing points, just so that you can follow the thought process. It's not, you know, building. It's not 8 points. It's just 8 things that I've separated so that we can flow through this. First of all, point one, the context. Because people, you know, whatever we do, and because you want to be honest with the context. This is what got everybody in trouble with such things as confession in 1:9, and from all the movements that have come through history that make that a big issue. They took it out of context. They had no idea what the context is all about, and you get into trouble when you take things out of context. And so context becomes essential. So I want to deal first with context, and then we will extrapolate a principle in dealing with our own individual lives. All right, what is the context? The context is the last days. Now, reference to whether or not in these days believers of the church are here or not, John lets us know there's always going to be the Antichrist. So here we have the Antichrist, and he has presented himself as the Christ, but he is another Christ. He is against Christ. He is the Antichrist. And what is happening is that a multitude of believers are going to run to the Antichrist. They are going to run to the Antichrist. So this is the context, because if you'll notice this, and at that time, so at this time, is the time when believers will accept the Antichrist as the real Christ. They will accept, these are born-again believers. These are not unbelievers. This is not the world. This is born-again believers are going to accept the Antichrist as the Christ, as the real Christ. And what is going to happen, there will be a few believers at that time who will not accept him as the Antichrist. One of the reasons that they will not do it is that they will be in the power of God the Holy Spirit. They will know what to listen for. You've got to know what to listen for. Like right now, really America, if not the world, but definitely America, is just primed for the Antichrist, because most people want to hear, Christians want to hear, justice, law, order, get what you deserve. Let's start taking care of people, individual responsibility. We've got to cut out this stuff that's going on in the White House. We've got to cut out this stuff going on with young people. We've got to cut out this stuff going on. We've got to cut it out. And the only way to do it is get back to law. He is going to be a great law person. And you can just see how Christians are going to say, yup, and they're going to run to him. It's going to sound good. And they're going to run to him. But there are going to be a few Christians, just a few, who are going to say, wait a minute, that's not the sound of Christ. The sound of Christ is accept him and forgiveness, reconciliation. They're going to know what to listen for. And that's not going to be sound, that's not going to sound that way. The Antichrist is going to sound like law. And because a lot of Christians have already accepted law as the way we should live, that's what they're going to listen for, and they're going to run for to him. But there'll be a few believers who'll say, no, that is not the Christ. That is a false Christ. That isn't even the sound of the true Christ. That isn't his platform. That's not what he's about. And what's going to happen in context is that these other believers here, they are going to turn against these believers, because they're not doing what they want them to do, according to law. They're going to turn against them and turn them in, to the forces of the Antichrist. And people, you have to understand this. They are doing it for God. They are going to turn against their own for God. They will turn against their family. They will turn them in. Family, parents, children, parents, brothers, sisters, friends, husbands, wives, this whole deal. But we're doing it for God. We're going to turn in these people for God. And what's going to happen is these people, these few people right here, have got to be gotten rid of because they're breaking the real peace. They are an intrusion. They are stopping the Antichrist and what he wants to bring about. And they've got to get rid of these people. For a long time, we used to think, not we, y'all, but there was a great move. Well, we got the commies. When the commies come, they're going to get rid of us conservatives. And it was always the commies. People know. In history, it's going to be Christians getting rid of Christians. It's going to be Christians turning in. Forget the commies. And forget the Nazis. And forget all these people. It's going to be born-again believers turning against born-again believers to do them harm. But it'll be for God. All right, now point two. The principle has application all the way through church age, though. John, in the Epistle of John, informs us in 1 John that we have the Antichrist with us throughout the church age. We have the Antichrist with us throughout the church age. Now the foundation of the Antichrist is really the same. It's still law. It's still a righteousness that comes from law, a purity that comes from law. You want to be pure, and law defines that. And all of the whole platform is still law. And these law believers are going to turn against the other believers who do not follow law, who say, no, that is not the voice. What we have is grace through faith. And this is where they are. And so the law people are going to have to turn, well, throughout church history, will turn against and deliver them up, deliver up one another, and they'll do it on the basis of law. Now, point three. Believers will do this throughout all church history. And at the heart of betraying, the Greek word means to betray, it means to turn in, it means to deliver up, all of these type of things. At the heart of this word, people, is the concept of control. I think I told you about a beautiful two-volume set of lexicon studies that I have, and they post it in a rather unusual way. What they did is they took all the words and they put them in regard to domain. And domain means in the where a lot of words carry the same kinds of concepts and everything. And this is under the domain of control and rule. And there are a lot of words in that. And this word is in that domain. It's a controlling concept. To deliver up someone, to turn against someone, to betray someone, you want to control. You want to control one another. Control what one another does. And if they're not doing what you want to do, then you're going to betray them because you want to get everybody in law and in the fear of law. This is why Peter gave up grace and faith in Antioch, because he knew what was going to happen when they came down and spied on him. And so he didn't want to do it. He didn't want them turning against him. He didn't want to pay all that price. And so out of fear, and this is what they want to do. They want to control by fear. You can listen to their words. They control by fear. They manipulate by fear. They get you to do what they want you to do by fear. And this is their device. They want to rule one another. Preachers are often this way. Preachers are extremely notorious for this. Trying to control the congregation. You can't do this, you can't do that, you can't go here, you can't go there, you can't do. And you'd be surprised how many people who think that they love freedom will give in to that kind of stuff. Boards of deacons like to do that. They like to control. A lot of ladies' organizations, missionary ladies' organizations, like to control. And you'd be surprised how many Christians give in to this stuff. Because these people can be vicious. And in their controlling. and they want to deliver them over to their downfall since they can't control them, and this all is involved in what this word means. So many Christians love to do this. Now, where does all this come from? We're still on point three. This has been one of Satan's schemes from the book of Job on. Think about it. What did Job do? He delivered Job. God said, okay, you can have him. And boy, he delivered Job up to the worst of circumstances. He turned on Job, he, Satan, and brought all of the dilemma, all of the calamity on Job. And Christians have been practicing the same tactic throughout all church history. Satan loves to deliver a believer up for destruction. That's what he did with Peter. In fact, our whole study of when Satan calls your name, which we did years ago, was this whole idea. Satan loves to call your name and deliver you up for destruction like he did Job, like he did Adam and Eve, like he did David, Peter, all the way through Scripture. And Christians follow suit. They want to do exactly the same thing. Now, point four. First of all, we have to note what has to happen first before you start all of this betraying in history. Note what it says. Many will fall away. So look at Matthew 24:10. Many will fall away. The word is scandalazo. That's where we get the word scandal, one of the root words. It means to entrap. Here it means to entrap, to trip up. Apostasy comes from this. Now, question. Fall away from what? Many will fall away and will deliver up one another. Okay, what are they going to fall away from that will cause them? I'll put it on here. I did want to change the sheet, but I want you to keep right here. What will they fall away from that will cause them to accept the Antichrist and turn on them? This was one of our main flows to the book of Galatians. What will they fall away from? I'm sorry? Spiritual love. Faith. What they're going to fall away from, if we can just kind of put it in the flow of our study, they're going to fall away from the truth of the gospel. And it involves the things you all just said. But this is what they're going to fall away from. The truth of the gospel that I, God, will do it for you, and they're going to do it themselves, and they see all of this happening. We're going to make society the way we want it, the Antichrist says. And so they have fallen away from the truth of the gospel. People, when you fall away from the truth of the gospel, you won't know what to listen for. The moment you accept some list, some performance system, you won't hear the truth. You have fallen away from the truth of the gospel, and you're a setup now to get involved in this kind of activity in life. They have fallen away from the truth of the gospel. What we saw in Galatians. And we saw it happens many different ways. The teaching of a false gospel. Remember, it says a different gospel. Fear, charming, cutting you off. Anything that will cause a believer to leave the truth of the gospel and to go to the law. When you leave the truth of the gospel, you go to the law. Now, when this happens, when you're charmed or whatever it is, away from the truth of the gospel, fallen away, there are things that you will do in the flesh according to the law. And we're going to, I got it in point seven, but let me just say, this is the dilemma of law. This is what law, where law is going to take you. And these are some of the things you're going to do. And at that time, when you're doing these things, you're going to claim that you're doing it for God. Look with me at John chapter 16. John chapter 16. Verse 1, these things I have spoken to you, that you may be kept from stumbling. They will make you outcast from the synagogue, but an hour is coming for everyone who kills you to think that he is offering service to God. They're doing this for side. Christians turning against Christians, and they're doing it for God. But in final analysis, they're doing it for themselves. They're doing it for law. They're going to make things happen. Now, point five, back to Matthew 24:10. They are hearing the law. They have fallen away from grace. And therefore, it is for your good that they are. It's always for your good. And you've got to remember this. It is always for your good that we are going to betray you. That we are going to do this to you. It is for your good according to our working of law. According to our acceptance of the Antichrist. You don't accept the Antichrist. See, what grace will do is, okay, let's just say a grace person, this is babbling like a fool, but if a grace person were here, accepted the Antichrist, and it's just fine. If you don't see this, then that's good. That's your business. We'll leave it alone. But you can tell people when law is working. You can always tell. You can tell when the power of the Spirit is working, and you can tell when the law is working. They're doing this for your good, betraying and hurting for your good. So the first thing that happens, they fall away from the truth of the gospel, from grace. Then, for the other person's good, they deliver them up. The Greek word means to surrender, to yield up, to betray, to bring them to authority, to do whatever has to be done according to law to that person. Now, six. Deliver them up to the authorities who what? Who are living by law. When you turn over another believer, in the case of our study in Matthew, that believer is going to suffer pain, hurt, even death, as we saw in John 16. All right, seven. Try to pull some of these things together. Where does this activity come from throughout church history? Not only at the time of the Antichrist, but throughout church history. What would cause the activity of a believer betraying another believer? Where would such activity of my life come from? People, just have to understand it very clearly. This kind of activity in your life, the way that you treat another believer in this manner, take all the things that we've studied in the way that the Spirit will lead us to deal with one another, even when another believer sins. You don't have anything like this. Nothing like this. So where does this come from? This kind of activity, people, comes from law. You must start understanding, if you haven't already, from our study of Galatians. This is the dilemma of law. This is the dilemma of law. Law has no choice here. This is the dilemma. You have to do it. I have to turn you in, my son, my father, my brother, my sister. I have to do this. There's no place for love. Love doesn't work here. It's love that I do it. It's love that I hurt you. This is what I have to do. This is the dilemma of law. People, when you live by law, think about it. Then you have to do what law says, and that's the dilemma of law. We saw it in Galatians. What did we see in Galatians? Biting one another. Where did that come from? In context, it comes from the law. And devouring one another. Law. Totally consume each other. People, what is the whole foundation of law? The law is designed to kill. The law is designed to destroy. Now, just think about it in your mind. Grace, on the other hand, is designed to give life. First of all, eternal life in the person of Jesus Christ, and spiritual life in the person of the Holy Spirit, the two sendings of God. So, you can just see, here's the dilemma of law. You have to do this. You have no choice. Law will demand this. You can't just sit back and watch somebody break the law and do nothing, because then you become a lawbreaker. You become a transgressor. I'm not going to be a transgressor. I'm not going to be a transgressor by watching you break the law and I not turn you in and betray you and do all of these things. That's why, in discussion of the whole law, Paul ended in Galatians 6:1. Even if you catch a believer in the sin, why was he so strong? Because the dilemma of law is, if I catch you in sin, I have to turn you over. I have to betray you. I have no choice. It is the dilemma of law. I have to do this. And that's why he worded it so strong. Even if you catch him, restore such a one. You don't turn on him, you restore him. So you can just look at the activity that comes from you and know who's in control and by which standard you're working, the law or by the power of the Spirit and grace by faith. So you just take your pick, but what we're looking at in this verse and in this concept and dealing with one another is the dilemma of law. People, you have, that's why I call it the dilemma, you have no choice. I have to do this. Because if I don't, I become a transgressor. So I'm not going to become a transgressor. That's why Paul said, you won't become a transgressor. You will be what? Fulfilling what? The law of Christ. Look at Galatians 6. Just see it in this context. I'm just thankful. The more, as I study more and more that we did Galatians and I might even add another class because I know I told you I'd do Revelation and Daniel and Job, but I want to do Colossians. I want to do more books like we did Galatians. It is so powerful, the things that we saw and put together. Brethren, chapter 6, verse 1. Even if a man is caught, that's a law term, caught, in any trespass, any, go back to that list in chapter 5, verse 19 and 20. Of immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these. Even if he's caught in any trespass, you are spiritual, not law, but spiritual, walking in the Spirit. Restore such a one. Don't betray him. Restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness, not in the spirit of law and condemnation. Each one looking to yourself, lest you too be tempted. Tempted to what? Go to law. Bear one another's burdens and what? Fulfill the law of Moses? No. Fulfill the law of Christ. That's why he worded it that way. People, we have a dilemma of law in the sense of the law of Moses and list. When people have a list, all these types of things, you have no choice. You have no choice. You've got to do this. You've got to destroy. You've got to kill. That's what law is designed to do. Also in Galatians, what did we study? This concept was the flow of Galatians. Remember what it said in chapter 2? They came in to do what? Spy. Remember that? Y'all remember that? When I turn to it, shake your heads. You say, we remember. They came in and spied on our liberty. They came into the bathhouse to see if Titus was circumcised or not. Boy, how low can you get? They came in to spy. They came into the assembly, acting like they're one of them to spy out our liberty in Christ. Then another thing that happened. James actually sent believers. Now, we can't prove they're believers that did that. But, boy, we know that they were brethren because he tells us so. That James sent later on in Antioch, and they came in to spy on Peter and on the believers, and this is what caused Peter just to, turn back. Peter did not want to be turned in, as it were. They were going to deal with Peter and say, let it be known, Peter is not keeping the law. Peter doesn't act as we think he ought to act, and we're going to blacklist Peter. And he just didn't want to do that. He gave in. He pulled away because he knew how vicious these people were. I'm not condoning what Peter did in walking away. I want you to understand the force of one Christian against another. I mean, Peter knew what he knew how vicious they were. And he knew, boy, once they got a hold of him, it was over. And he didn't want that to happen to them. And many Christians are like that. I just don't want to put up with this. And I walk away from the Gentiles like Peter did and submit to those who are under law, to those who have their list. So people, when you have a list, this is the dilemma of it. You're going to judge and then turn in and turn on one another. And then finally, our antonym, even in the negatives we have antonym, instead of what? What should a Christian do? Or what will a Christian do when he's walking in the power of the Spirit, his faith is resting in the Spirit? It says to receive such a believer with the intent and goal of reconciliation. You see, people, since spiritual love does not seek to control or rule others, spiritual love prevents this thing. That's why spiritual love will say, if you don't want this, I'm sorry for you. I wish that you would see it. But that's as far as it goes, other than when that believer walks away, he may be in strong prayer concerning that believer whom he loves. But it's not going to turn on him. You can tell when love is in operation, and you can tell when law is in operation. Since spiritual love seeks the spiritual good of one another, it would never do something like this, because that's not its goal or objective. Okay, that's the first one. Let's go to the second one. The second one is closely related to it. And so let's take a look. Now, while the first one was centered on the activity of life, of turning against and betraying one another, this one centers on what's going on in your soul. The absence of spiritual love and the exaltation of self. And it's found in the same verse. So let's look back at Matthew 24:10, please. We'll see the second one of our studies. Let's go back and take a look at this one. Matthew 24:10, and at that time many will fall away and will deliver up one another and hate one another. Now here is another result of falling away from the truth of the gospel and going to law. You will hate those who do not agree with you. People, one thing about love. Remember, this is what's so powerful that God has given to us, not trust one another, but love. Trust cannot bear the breakdown of trust. Love, not only, spiritual love, not only can bear the breakdown of the breakdown of trust, but it can bear the breakdown of love. In other words, it can bear not, I hope this will make sense to you, spiritual love can bear not being loved in return. This is what's so strong and so powerful about spiritual love. Spiritual love is going to keep on loving even when the other person stops loving them. Not only will it keep on going if the person breaks down trust, but it, even when love is not being returned, spiritual love just keeps right on going. It will not allow this to happen. Now, 1 John, really the whole epistle of 1 John, if we analyze it correctly, is written on this one right here, hating one another. Because he will deal a lot with the hating and loving. We are not to hate one another. Now the Greek word to hate, with the implication of aversion or even hostility. And that's one of the reasons it's in the context as we have it in 24:10. They fall away from the truth of the gospel. They would deliver up one another. You could almost translate that and. See that and? You could almost translate that in the Greek. It's a tie. You could almost translate that even. Even hating one another. But I have no problem with and hate. But you could almost translate that even hating one another. And that's what this word means. It means to hate with the ideal of hostility, to see them destroyed or hurt. And again, this is what law is going to do. This is why hatred is so common among believers, because most believers live by some system of law, some list, some ideal of what they're doing, and therefore hate becomes part of their deal. They detest those who just live by faith. That's why Paul says, the son of the free woman will always be persecuted by the son of the bond woman, the one who's under law. Always will persecute the one under grace and love. And will always hate them. You think they're getting this from God for just trusting him, and they hate that. And they just cannot stand it, and therefore are going to hate. So this is why hate is common to them. Now, hate is a beautiful thing. I want to note something about hate. What you have to understand is, okay, let's cover one thing, it's a sin. Okay, we got that. But that doesn't even tell you what's going on. It misses the whole thing. What is hate? All right, first of all, hate lets you know that the flesh self is in rule. The flesh self is in rule. And it's in control. And what hate is one of those things that is part of the immune system of the flesh. Just like jealousy. In other words, it feels threatened, flesh self feels threatened, and what flesh self is doing, and so therefore it hates in order to protect itself. So what do I know when there's hate toward another believer, and I will not deny but acknowledge it? Then I know that the flesh self, or the natural man, the lower man, is in its control. I know where this is coming from. This isn't coming from the fruit of the Spirit. This is coming from the flesh man. Now, there's several ways we can look at this. We can hate the object, and independent or regardless of the qualities of the object. In other words, let me tell you what I'm showing you here is. When this is there from one believer toward another believer, watch this. It does not matter to this believer that the believer they hate is in Christ. That just does not matter. I hate you. It is independent of the fact that this person is in Christ. Well, we saw over and over in our study, we saw over and over what? In the study of one another, that this is one of the primary reasons that we treat certain believers the way we do is because they are in Christ. And because they are in Christ, we treat them a certain way, one another. But here, we hate them. I don't care if you're in Christ or not. I hate you, independent of the fact that you are a Christian. See? They don't care about that fact, that you're in Christ. Whereas spiritual life, this right here, is one of the all-powerful things, and that's why we are in Christ's new commandment, spiritual love. Love one another, not hate one another. We're to do this. So a believer hates another believer, what? Watch this now, and you have this coming in your soul. A believer hates another believer on his own account. We like to say, no, it's that other believer. No, because the final analysis is that other person's in Christ. So what we're doing is we're hating them on my own account. You're hating them on your own account, coming from yourself. Hate from one Christian to another Christian is the immune system of the flesh of that person hating the believer. They hate for their own self and their own benefit, no matter how they may want to color it. So tell hate what hate does. When you see hate and you understand there's hate inside of you, you know something more about yourself than you do the other person. Now, a lot of people are in denial, and they all know, I don't hate. John is very clear on this. Yes, you do hate your brother. And be aware you hate your brother. And what this will tell you is more about yourself. It doesn't tell you a thing about, oh, well, they're not doing this and they're not doing that. No, your problem is inside of yourself. Because hate means I don't care about the fact that you're in Christ. I hate you. And so therefore, I hate you on my own account, for my person, for my purity, myself, and it'll tell you about yourself, not about the other person. So believers hate others who have in some way injured them, some way not doing what they want done, There are a lot of things we could put down the list here. You injured me. You let me down. You're not doing what I want you to do. You sinned against me, and I'm not going to forgive. And on and on and on, whatever it is. And pretty soon, this begins to really take shape. This one, people, is a cruel, vicious thing inside your soul. It's a cruel fire. And it lets you know that the flesh is in total control. It's all related to the earth. It is not related to the spiritual. Because if it's related to the spiritual, you know that person's in Christ. And so you're going to do those other one another's in reconciling them. This is all on the earth. And this is where you try to deal with it. This is where most people try to deal with it. This is what I was saying Sunday morning. They want that inner peace. And they want that inner happiness. And they want these things. And I've got to work on this. And we try to work on it in terms and in understanding of the earth, and it won't work. You are a new creature in Christ. You're going to have to go to your above nature. You're going to have to go to your spiritual nature. You're going to have to go somewhere else if you want to start working on hate and understand how horrible hate really is. So the actions of hate deal with hurting one another, see them punished. Instead of hating one another, what are we to do? The antonym, of course, is very simple. Instead of hating a believer for what they do, we are commanded to love one another. Let's look at a few verses, and then we'll be through with this one. All right, first of all, turn with me to Titus 3. Let's look at Titus chapter 3. Don't know where Titus is? That's my fault. It's another book we need to do some work in. Titus number three, or chapter 3. Titus is the one who went with Paul in Jerusalem, and he's a Gentile. Okay, Titus 3, and we'll just note verse 3 of chapter 3. For we also once were foolish ourselves. Now, what is he referring to, people? He's referring to our earth nature before we were born from above. This is our nature before we were born from above. Ourselves, disobedient, deceived, enslaved to various lusts and pleasures, spending our life in malice, envy, hateful, hating one another. Okay, so what happened? This is the way we were. This lets you know the flesh nature. And now that you are born from above, whenever you see this, you know that you are operating on the basis of the earth. You're operating on the basis of your lower nature. And it just is one of the great things. You can just say, wow, like we saw last night. Wow, when I see this, I know I'm not walking in the rest of faith in the Spirit. I know that because hate comes and relates to things related to the earth and are earth-oriented. Turn to 1 John, please. The epistle of 1 John. And let's just note how powerful and how this flows through this epistle. This is what the epistle is really about, is spiritual love and hate and believers who claim one thing but indeed are not. All right, let's look at chapter 2, verse 9. 1 John 2, 9. The one who says he is in the light, all right, what is that? Walking in the power of the Holy Spirit by faith, and hates his brother is in the darkness until now. He's not in the light. He is not in the power of the Holy Spirit. And then he says in verse 10, the one who loves his brother abides in the light, is dwelling in the power of the Spirit, walking by that rest of faith in the Spirit, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. What does that mean? People, as long as you're walking, and this is what we saw last night, when you're walking with that rest, here you are walking, and you have that rest of faith in the Holy Spirit. There's no cause for stumbling. Somebody does something, you're going to deal with them in the power of the Holy Spirit, and that's all of those wonderful one another's that we just finished studying. There's no cause of stumbling, because spiritual love doesn't breed hate, it breeds love, and all the things that make a person hate another person, spiritual love doesn't do, because it's not related to the earth, it's related to the spiritual things. Verse 11, but the one who hates his brother, so this is a believer hating another believer, is in the darkness, he's not in the power of the Spirit, he's in the power of the flesh, and walks in the darkness instead of in the power of the Spirit, but he claims he's in the light. But what is coming out, it's very clear he's not. And does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. Doesn't even see the truth. He's so convinced that his hate is right. Look at chapter 3 and verse 13. Chapter 3, verse 13, do not marvel, brethren, if the world hates you. Now, we're going to be doing more of this in our alien study in John 3. Who are the real aliens? People, we are. We are the real aliens from John chapter 3 because we are born from up here and we are down here as an alien. And this is why the world is going to hate us. And they're such as alienists. And they don't like alienists. And they hate aliens, and we are the aliens. The true aliens are believers, and especially those believers who are walking by faith in the Spirit. All right, look at verse 15. Everyone, chapter 3, everyone who hates his brother is a murderer. And there goes everything. So you hate your brother, he's a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. Now, we'd have to spend our time in flow of this. We've looked at it before. What he's talking about, the old man. The old man does not have eternal life. When you and I hate, we know the old man, is in control. Now, at the resurrection, what's going to happen? At your resurrection, we bury somebody. And so here's somebody, and we put this old body, ashes to ashes, dust to dust. So we return it to the dust. When the resurrection occurs, this doesn't go. The old man doesn't go. You go. That is your soul. The real you goes up, but all of this stays down. It doesn't receive eternal life. I'll just give you a hint of what's going on there. Look at chapter 4, verse 20. Chapter 4, verse 20. If someone says, I love God. Now, here's that self-righteousness. Remember the previous one where they betray one another and say they're doing great things? Okay. If someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he's a liar. Oh, no, no. No, no. I love God. I just hate my ex. I hate my boss. I hate my brother or my sister. I hate this stumbling, sinful believer. But I love God. You're a liar. You're lying. You're deceiving yourself. Look what it says. If someone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he's a liar. For the one who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. And I know a lot of people love to argue with that. Oh, no, it's easy to love somebody when you don't see. It's harder to love somebody when you see, and all this kind of stuff. This is very clear. People like to say, oh, I love God, and I'm right with God, but boy, I hate this believer and all of that. You don't love God. You do not love him. If you love him, you will love another believer, even those who sinned against you. If you love those who sinned against you, you love another believer, and I use that as the most difficult. You love that believer, you love God. Don't deceive yourself in this regard. So that gives you a flow of that one. Okay. The third one, we got 2 minutes, and we just get started, and I would go over it again anyway. So we'll pick it up right here next Wednesday night and go to the third one and continue into our study. These are things that we're going to see when you are walking. You've got 2 places you can walk with that rest of faith in the Holy Spirit. And then spiritual love does all the things that it's designed to do, and you go on with your activity. The people in your activity of life, if you see these things coming out and the way you're dealing with one another here, you know something. This is not true. You're not here. You're down here in the flesh, and all of these things in the flesh are taking over. And this is a clue. Don't become all this, defensive and all of that and worry about it and feel guilty. Just, okay, this is for that. Let me know. I got to get back here. And just immediately go back to walking in faith. And you're back in the light, and the power of the Holy Spirit and the power of spiritual love can then perform what they are designed to do for you, what they will do for you. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, how insightful when Jesus Christ told us that how we deal with each other lets us know where we are. But sometimes it is so difficult to deal with one another in the manner that we be glorifying. But Father, if we can't do that, how can we dare fight against the powers and principalities of darkness? How grateful we are, Father, that you have given to us your Spirit to pour in spiritual lives, that that area of our life is now in the hands of the Holy Spirit, and we enter into the war against the powers of darkness, and not trapped, stumbling in the things of the flesh and earth. Father, we pray that you will continue to open our eyes that we might see. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.